CBSi on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Open letter on the humanitarian crisis in Israel, dated October 20th, by Oxford University scholars, 45 academics signed the letter. It was addressed to the Prime Minister and Leader of the Opposition, United Kingdom. I welcome Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing at Real Clear Politics, about this letter, its allegations, and what is to be done. Peter, a very good evening to you. The Oxford academics have a number of assertions in their letter that are surprising. It was early days, October 20th. It was within the first 2 weeks of the events. And that makes their allegations even stranger because of what we've learned about the way Hamas fights, the way Hamas plans to fight, human shields, for example, and abuse of hostages, for example, and threats to continue and to do it again, for example. You write very carefully about these Oxford scholars to call for an immediate cessation to Israel's morally disastrous attack on Gaza, end quote. What do we learn from these Oxford academics, Peter? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The first thing we learn is they haven't acquired the intellectual virtues that one associates with being a scholar. I mean, foremost among those virtues, I would have thought, are care and precision and thoughtfulness in presenting your positions. And yes, this open letter was published 2 weeks or so after Hamas's perpetration of the mass atrocities. But these are scholars who, as they themselves emphasize, have devoted their lifetime to studying and thinking. They had available, by the time they published their letter, adequate information to have not made any of the assertions that that they put into their letter, beginning with the demand, which they couch as an absolute, unequivocal moral demand that Israel enact a ceasefire. No mention of Hamas enacting a ceasefire.
I press the matter of the assertions that Israel targeted civilians in Gaza. Not only is that wrong, but also it's an act of fiction. It's an act of propaganda. And Peter, you have to believe that they're not cynically putting this down on paper and thinking they'll get away with it. You have to believe they lived in an environment where it doesn't occur to them that they're making an allegation they can't support. It's as if they're in a separate reality and everyone must agree with them. Why? Because of their position? Because they're philosophers? Why? How did they get into that place?
Well, that's a huge and hugely important question. I can only speculate that they are all reading the same newspapers, listening to the same newscasts. These are Oxford scholars, so one assumes that they get a fair amount of their news from the BBC. Where they would get the idea that Israel is deliberately targeting civilians, I do not know. They certainly provide no evidence of that assertion. All the evidence points to the contrary. All the evidence points to Israel taking unusual, even exceptional precautions in order to warn civilians. How many other countries in advance of air attacks on legitimate military targets leaflets the civilian population and instructs the civilian population to leave, gives them 24 hours at least to get out of those areas because of the fighting, actually defensive fighting, having been provoked by Hamas's massacres. I don't think there are too many examples of armies taking such precautions. If I may add, almost in the same breath, the Oxford scholars then go on to denounce Israel for violating the laws of war by engaging in an act of forcible transfer. Forcible transfer is when you force non-combatants to leave at gunpoint. But Israel was rescuing their lives by telling them to get out of the way of a military operation. That assertion actually goes beyond ignorance to I think, culpable intellectual perversity.
In the letter, Israel has deliberately deprived innocent Palestinian civilians, a great number of them children, of water, food, and electricity, as well as the means of escape. Peter, where do we begin? All right. The word deliberate, we see it again and again and again. Deliberate. Deliberately. They have to make that assertion without evidence. Now, at some point, Peter, it had to be clear that they're not visiting Gaza. They're not on the ground. I doubt if they've ever been there to understand the very small dimensions. I doubt if they understand that the Rafah crossing is the only secure spot in the whole of the Gaza Strip and that Egypt controls it. I doubt if they understand that the Hamas gangsters have ripped the strip apart with tunnels, said to be almost 800 miles or 800 kilometers of tunnels, and that the Hamas gangsters hold the people of Gaza hostage. It's an enormous hostage camp. Hamas came into power in 2007 by murdering the Palestinian Authority present in the Gaza Strip. Hamas, since 2007, routinely executes people they claim are spies for Israel. I do not believe these Oxford scholars had any idea of that information, nor were they particularly interested in learning before they wrote this letter.
All of your assertions seem right to me, John. I agree with you. They had no interest in it. Or, again, they had no interest in it, or they are so cocooned in their world that they believe that their study, that their political scientists, students of political philosophy, moral philosophers, even some scholars of international relations, that they cannot conceive an alternative account of things. But still, they're Oxford scholars. They should have risen above. Is it really that hard to grasp that it's not Israel who is which is depriving non-combatants in the Gaza Strip of food, water, and energy? It is Hamas who is depriving Palestinians of these goods by waging an unlawful war from within civilian areas. All Hamas has to do is cease to wage war from inside cities, and Palestinian non-combatants will be fed, and they will not be victims of the lawful siege that Israel has imposed upon the Gaza Strip in a war of self-defense.
Oxford is the source of 7 or 8 centuries of learning, and it is good to learn that there are moral philosophers who have responded to the Oxford letter. One in particular you name, Peter Hacker. Who is he?
Yes. Peter Hacker is now a recently retired professor of philosophy. And so he's a very interesting case. His specialty is Wittgenstein, 20th century philosophy, not politics, not geopolitics. And yet his letter is brimming with common sense, knowledge of the facts, and stern moral judgment, beginning with the observation that especially those philosophy professors at Oxford who have signed the letter, whose vocation is clarity of thought, have betrayed their vocation in signing that letter.
We go on to his remarks about vocation is clarity of thought. I think we've gone enough through the letter itself to say that there was no clarity. But what is to be done? Does he have recommendations, Peter?
Yes, his principal recommendation, and it's very important, is that Israel be permitted to continue the work it has undertaken. The work it has undertaken, its war aim is to eliminate Hamas's military and political leadership and degrade and destroy Hamas's capabilities of ever waging war again or governing Gaza Strip again. Hacker emphasizes that any interference with Israel's ability to accomplish that aim would be like interfering with the United States at Normandy, because inevitably civilians would die on the Allies' march through Europe to liberate it from the Nazis. If Israel's ability to complete its military operations is interfered with, this sends the message that Hamas can return. This sends the message that Israel's deterrence is nothing to be feared. So I believe that is both good common sense and sound military advice, that Israel be allowed to execute its mission.
I'm reading another scholar's version of Normandy, D-Day, and the campaign from the beaches to Paris in the summer of 1944. And I was struck by the Professor Hacker using the same example, because I think my numbers are roughly accurate. 50,000 Parisian French nationals died in the bombing that was associated with Normandy. The railroad yards, the the arsenals, the mistakes that were made in the bombing, because their air wars were nowhere near as accurate as they are now. And those 50,000 civilians died because the Allies had to advance against a determined German resistance that counted on the fact that they were in villages that hadn't been evacuated. The Allies dropped leaflet after leaflet, please leave, please get out. Sometimes it happened, sometimes it didn't. Whole cities were reduced. And then we can speak of the Allied strategic bombing that continued through the rest of the war, not only in Europe, but also in Japan. All of these were civilized nations conducting war against an opponent who was using the cities either as human shields or an indifference to whether their civilians died or not. The professor points to that. I don't see the Oxford scholars responding. Peter, it's as if we don't read the same books. Do you get that feeling sometimes?
Actually, I think it's worse sometimes. I think they don't read books. And I just want to underscore your point as well, John. When one side begins an act of pure aggression and it chooses to use human shields, the other side, in exercising its right self-defense, is not morally culpable for the deaths of those used as human shields. Those who have moral and legal responsibility for those deaths are the people who initiate the aggression. Those people are engaging in war crimes. Those people should be condemned.
Peter Berkowitz.
The Nazis.
Peter,
go ahead.
No, please finish, Peter.
I was just going to say that means the Nazis in World War II and Hamas in this Gaza war.
Peter Berkowitz is the Tad and Diane Taub Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University campus. We're going to turn now. We're going to come home to the troubles that America is experiencing because of anti-Semitism on our elite campuses, similar to Oxford. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Rush.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.